Joining us now, Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman. And coach, you know, you had some interesting thoughts about this G League program that Jordan and I are trying to, you know, hash out ourselves. We both have kind of conflicting ideas of what exactly this pathway program could offer players and how it might impact college basketball. I guess let's just start with, how much information are you being given about the specifics of this pathway program in order for you to talk about it with people you're recruiting or anybody else?
Well, I don't think I'm not sure that anyone really knows exactly what, you know, what this is going to look like, except maybe, you know, Sharif Abdul-Rahim and the inner circle of who's putting together the team until they, you know, I know there's been talk of Sam Mitchell potentially being, you know, the coach. And so really, you know, there's just so many thought processes that have to go into it. Like, how many games is a player going to be able to play? Because, you know, number one, you know, the best way to get better as a player is you got to perform under, you know, under the lights and in front of big crowds, and you know, you can do all the cone work that you want, but you still have to get live game competition against good players in game settings, and not just game settings, but in meaningful, you know, you take Arkansas playing Kentucky, like that's a meaningful game. And those 40 minutes, when you look at a player's development and getting them ready to play in an NBA game, I don't know how you can have a better environment than playing on the road at a Kentucky, on the road at Auburn. I can tell you, because I coached 2 years in the D-League, I can tell you when you go play in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in front of 100 people, that's not the same as playing in Lexington, Kentucky. I can tell you that.
Coach, can you paint the picture? It was then, like you said, the D League, since becoming the G League because of Gatorade's affiliation. But can you paint the picture for what that league was like for even the top players at that time, what that lifestyle meant?
Well, Jordan, you know, the team that we had in Reno, our backcourt was Jeremy Lin, and Jeremy was backed up by Donald Sloan. Both guys obviously made the NBA. Our off guard was Danny Green, who obviously started now for NBA championship teams. We had Steve Novak, who played for many years in the NBA. So we had a lot of really, really good players that ended up having good careers. Hassan Whiteside was on that team as well. But the lifestyle is, you know, you could play three games or four games in a 5 or 6 day stretch. You're flying, you know, you're not chartering, you're flying commercial. You're getting up at 6 a.m. You might have 2 legs on your flight to get to a city. So you're very limited in your practice because by the time you're on a road trip, it's hard enough just to get a team ready to play, maximum energy, enthusiasm, effort, and all those type of things with the way the travel is. So your practice time is so limited. So, you know, I just think that this experiment is, you know, yes, you know, it does potentially keep players that aren't going to go to college. It keeps them in the United States where NBA teams can closely monitor them rather than flying to watch one particular player who might be playing overseas. So I do think there's some real positives for that. But I also think, and it's not going to be judged now, but over time, there's going to be some failure stories as well. And I don't just mean one or two failure stories. The majority are going to be, just because it's so hard to have a career in the NBA. So, you know, I think we have to look back at how this thing goes over, let it go for 3, 4, 5 years and see how these particular players pan out over an extended period of time.
It's Spain and Company. We're talking to Eric Musselman, head coach at Arkansas, about this new G League pathway program. Some of the changes that they're talking about, coach, upping the salary for the most elite players to $500,000, a 1-year development program, which would look different than the D League that you were with, where they're not necessarily flying and traveling and playing other teams the same way, as instead being centralized and being coached and taught various life skills. How much do you think these changes that they've been making of late will influence more players to choose that over the traditional path?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for some players, you know, I think if, number one, like, the bottom line is there's only a select few that make the NBA as a career. So, you know, what makes college basketball so special? Well, I mean, hopefully it's about getting an education to set you up for life. And, you know, when I think about, you know, somebody who's going to teach a group of 10 players life skills, well, that's really good. But, you know, what about the life skills you learn in a college environment? So, you know, certainly I think that program is going to intrigue some. Now, whether it intrigues, you know, 10 players that can make up a full team, or whether that includes just two or three guys each year, and then there's veterans sprinkled in, meaning guys that have been out of college. You know, I'm not really sure if anyone knows exactly what this thing is going to look like. And again, if you're not playing a full season, and you know, that means you're not in a league, so to speak, and you're not playing for a win-loss column, I truly believe that's a lot of what player development's about, is playing and trying to develop your game to help your team win a game. It's not just about improving your jump shot or becoming a better ball handler. It's about trying to play within team concepts and figuring out the nuances of the game to try to win. Because at the bottom, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's the NFL, NBA, MLB, like, everybody's just trying to win. And so that's why I think this thing is truly an experiment.
Yeah, and Coach, one of the head-scratching points in many to me with the idea of this program with the G League is, you, it's in college basketball circles and in the basketball world, people identify you as a guy who player development is where you are elite. And that's what gets you these big time jobs and why you have so much success. You develop guys. So going back to that concept, and if you're going to put these young men in these situations where they're not playing against other G League guys consistently as it's constructed right now, but it'll be development one-on-one stuff, how can you really analyze what they can become if you're not seeing them in these competitions like you're talking about? So yes, you're keeping them in the States. That's all fine and good, but how are you really able to analyze them any sharper with how they're going to set this thing up?
I don't know how you can, Jordan. I think that's, you know, like the way to develop a player is you put him in a competitive situation in a game. You evaluate him after the game's over. You see what the defense has taken away from him. You've seen sets or plays that they excel in. You try to accentuate their strengths. In a game, you try to maybe hide their deficiencies, but then behind closed doors, you try to take those deficiencies and try over time to turn those into positives in their game. So, and I think if you're just talking about, you know, developing a player, and the program's an eight-month program and that's it, well, that's no different than getting a grad transfer, you know, at the college ranks. Like, yes, you can help a grad transfer over a short period of time, but you can't help a grad transfer develop as much as you can help an incoming freshman. So how much you can really truly help a guy over 8 months, that's debatable if, in fact, they're not playing a true schedule.
Talking to Eric Musselman, coach of Arkansas. We got to let you go, Coach, but I'm really quickly wondering, I know in your interview with SI, you talked about potentially the NCAA needs to make some changes to continue to compete. Off the top of your head, what are you thinking in terms of being able to make it still an endearing and enticing a place to go for these kids?
Yeah, I think one thing, Sarah, is like how we should have the same, you know, rules. In other words, if the NBA – you know, plays four quarters and, you know, FIBA has four, you know, like, why don't we all have the same? FIBA, us, NBA. I know that, you know, the biggest hang up is, you know, the NBA or a pro game, a G League game is 48 minutes. Our game is 40 minutes. So that might be the one thing that never, you know, reaches a partnership, but certainly, I think the more formalized we can have worldwide rules, the better off, you know, everybody will be. And I, you know, you go to a college women's game, there's four quarters. You go to a men's college basketball game, there's two halves. You turn on an NBA game, there's four quarters. It's just too confusing, you know, for a basketball fan, and I think it's confusing for the players too. And I think the more we can have uniform rules, the better. And I think that the college game can sell that as well if, in fact, we have more unified rules along with FIBA and the NBA.
Awesome stuff, Coach. Well, we're interested in seeing some of the details that come out about this and the reaction others have to it. We really appreciate you offering your insight.
No, thanks you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.